Well, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Nova M Radio. You know, every night, Charlie Gibson on ABC News, he ends his newscast with, well, we hope you had a good day today, and we hope you have a good evening or something like that. It's good, good, good. And it's kind of nice. You know, he said it tonight. I hope you had a good week this week. And I'm thinking, well, it's been kind of a terrible week, hasn't it? Yeah, it really has. It's just been a terrible week. One for the record books, for sure. If you probably noticed during the week that we did not talk about, other than to comment on the horror of it all, what occurred in Blacksburg, Virginia, and our reasons for that, because we got a couple of emails that said, you know, why have you not even mentioned that? We did mention it, but I guess for people who listen to the program on a sporadic basis, you know, we didn't do what rest of media has done on any aspect of it that I'm aware of. We talked about it the night that it occurred, the night of the day that it occurred, just kind of briefly. And the bottom line here is there's nothing to talk about. Somebody goes completely wacko, because you have to be wacko to do what this student did, and kills 32 people and himself. What are you going to say about that? You know, talk about gun laws? Yeah, that makes a lot of difference. Talk about programs for mentally disturbed students? Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Talk about mental health programs? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, let's talk about that. There really isn't anything to talk about. We live in a society that produces that sort of violent upheaval periodically. I thought we were in for one again today. Where was that today, Kathy? When we heard that somebody was holding someone or people hostage at the NASA? I don't even know anymore. I mean, why even bother to look? It's a story of somebody's complete break with reality, and it just so happens that within the framework of that break, they just end the lives or hurt or damage so many other people. And I honestly don't know what to say about it. I've watched some of the coverage on television, and it was just making me sick. What I mean is, of course, the subject matter is sickening. But to watch the television people, I really hate these sons of bitches. I mean, I really do, all the way from top to bottom. I just hate them all, with one or two exceptions, like Keith Olbermann. It's just vile. It's just vile. Some hideous event like this, and these roaches, these parasites, just gravitate towards the killing field. Whether the killing field is New Orleans or Blacksburg or Columbine, they just cluster and start asking the most vile questions, thrusting microphones in people, taking advantage of people. Yeah, can you sit over here on camera with us? And you know, people are walking around zombie-like from the horror of having a student, a family member killed. And of course, the immediate thought is how invasive this is, how disgusting, how sickening these anchor people and reporters. And then you stop and think for a second, and you think, well, you know, what about all the Americans that die because of Bush's insanity? I mean, he's as much of a mass killer, more so than this student. Always has been, always will be. It's in his blood, it's in his genes. He's a murderer of the highest order. He uses the cover of legal murder as his M.O., whether it's the chief executioner of the state of Texas or the chief executioner in the country of Iraq, or wanting to be the chief executioner in Iran. It doesn't make any difference to this man, to Bush. He couldn't care less. But why doesn't the media focus on that? And, of course, the answer is I have no idea. Not to diminish this tragedy, NBC acting like absolute perfect scum, just total scum, releasing that video. Oh, well. And this is not a sideways, back into it way to get into this conversation. Don't want to talk about it tonight. Don't want any phone calls about it tonight. It just sort of struck me when Charlie Gibson said, I hope you had a good week. Or maybe he said, I hope you have a better week. I have no idea. Reverend Ted Haggard got his ass thrown, literally thrown out of Colorado Springs. Part of his separation agreement with the evangelical organization that he ran was that he'd get out of town. So, of course, he moves to Phoenix. Oh, my God. Hey, we were just in Phoenix, Kathy. This is where Haggard would join the same church that helped the murderously sick Jim Baker. Remember Jim and Tammy Baker? After Baker got out of prison, after ripping off his sheep for $158 million, Baker went there to get cured. Haggard confessed to undisclosed sexual immorality, you'll remember, and some involvement with methamphetamine. He said he bought meth but never used it. Yeah, I do that too. doesn't everybody do that? I think I'll go buy some meth, but I'm not going to use it. As part of his severance package from New Life Church, that was the mega member congregation he started in his basement. It's up to about 15,000 members now. Well, they've had a fall off in parishioners, but Haggard agreed to leave Colorado Springs. And now, I like this. The Reverend H.B. London, one of three ministers overseeing what has been called Haggard's restoration, they're going to restore him to what? Being a absolute terrified closeted gay man. That's what they're going to restore him to being. Well, that makes sense. Yeah, let's restore him into being all unable to accept himself for what he is and yada yada. But H.B. London, Reverend, said when he moved out of town today, there was a kind of relief on the part of the church that life can get back to normal. And when I saw that sentence, I thought, the church, let's see, the evangelical, the New Life Church can get back to normal. I don't know anything about this church, but knowing evangelicals and dominionists and the foaming mouth Christian right in this country, I would assume that get back to normal means continue their pro-war stance, continue their anti-woman stance, continue their anti-homosexual stance, continue their abusive attitude towards children if they get out of line because, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child. And when I saw that sentence, life came back to normal. Yeah, let's get Haggard out of here because, you know, being gay, oh, my God, he was just upsetting the entire delicate balance here at our holy temple of whatever the hell it is they do there. Whew. I don't want to get started on this tonight because I'll just go nuts. For the Haggards, according to the Reverend London, for the Haggards, it is the beginning of a huge new chapter. It's a brand new start for them, the beginning of a new beginning. Okay. Now, while he's in Phoenix, and to our listeners in Phoenix, be careful because Ted Haggard may decide to stop being heterosexual at any moment. As far as we know, he's still heterosexual, but, you know, he may stop. So watch out, okay, boys and girls? He plans to pursue a graduate degree in counseling in Phoenix at an area university. I wonder if that'd be the University of Phoenix. Who knows? And the Pentecostal church that he will attend is the Phoenix First Assembly of God, led by the Reverend Tommy Barnett. Tommy? Reverend Tommy? Hey, Tommy, what's up? Another member of Haggard's restoration team. They're going to restore him back into being that good, psyched out, totally unable to accept himself, twisted individual. Oh, I'm not gay. I don't use drugs. This man that I'm having sex with is just, oh, I don't know. We're studying. Whew. Oh, my God. Now, of course, this is the same church that I mentioned, the Phoenix First Assembly of God, where Jim Baker, after he was released from prison for screwing his supporters, only differently, he screwed his supporters out of $158 million. God, I don't know. I just...
should apologize for
I mean, for this, for why don't these Christians who you know beat the hell out of people with the Bible constantly, especially gay folk, why don't they? Why isn't the Bible used against them when they do this sort of thing? According to Leviticus and Deuteronomy or whatever, where the law is written, people like Haggard, people like Jim Baker should be taken out, a hole dug. Put them in the hole, fill it up so just their head is sticking out of the hole. The head, you know, the chin is flush with the ground, and then ride horses over them or stone them until they're just a mass of bloody pulp. That's what the Bible says, doesn't it?
Their fathers, uncles, too. If you've been born a second later, that just might be you. Have you prayed for a way to forgive your latest enemy? Well, then do not do it in my name. Yeah, don't blame it on me. Yeah, please don't do it in my name. Don't blame it.
Here in Washington, we're now determining the size and the shape of a package. It's not if we have a package, it's how big will the package be.
Oh, stop, Kathy. Stop. Oh, my God. As far as Haggard is concerned, or and Gonzalez, anybody who, you know, Haggard's only... it's not even a crime. I don't know if it's a sin or not, but just the untruthfulness. How on one hand, and I understand Haggard was not totally a gay basher like some of these evangelical or these Dominionists are, but still, you know, living a lie. That's the one thing that I think the Christian Redeemer talked about a lot was, you know, being authentic. I don't think he used the word authentic, but you know what I'm saying. But I kind of adopt the, I guess it's the European, maybe the French attitude about those who seek redemption, who have screwed up so badly by causing so many other people so much grief, like a Karl Rove or a Gonzalez or a Bush or some of these gay bashers. My attitude about redemption is no, there is no such thing, and I, you know, I don't want to say the older I get, the more I believe that. Because I've always kind of felt that, and I've discussed it with people. I remember one of my long stints in therapy. My therapist used to say, "So you don't believe in forgiveness?" And I said, "Well, forgiveness, I think, is like an individual thing. If somebody really screws up and hurts 10,000 people, it's up to each one of those 10,000 to make an individual decision about forgiveness. As far as blanket forgiveness, oh, you know, because somebody confesses and seeks redemption and then comes forgiveness and then, you know, they're back into the light. I'm sorry. I've got a hard attitude about that. My attitude is no, hell no. Redemption? To hell with you. To hell with you in your search for redemption. Karl Rove, somebody tell me, you think Karl Rove deserves redemption? You think Joe Stalin deserves it? You think Hitler? You think Bush? No, I don't think so. So as far as redemption, redeeming one's intrinsic value because one does what? Fesses up and asks for forgiveness? Hey, sorry. No redemption. You know, just wallow in your own life. You know, you cast the die. You're the one who said, this is how I'm going to be. And then you want to change after you look at all, you know, maybe some little flash of enlightenment comes into that person's brain. Oh, I don't think I should have ordered the deaths of 10,000. Oops. Hey, I'm sorry. Go away. Get out of my sight. No redemption. And by the way, if nobody else has noticed it, the church that...
Let's
bring on Rob from Jersey City in New Jersey. Now, Rob, something about the church that he is joining in Phoenix?
Yeah, well, most of my friends have already caught on to this acronym before this even came out, but First Assembly of God, you remove the of because you don't make that part of the acronym.
First Assembly of God, F-A-G, F-A.
Now, I didn't want to get you in trouble, but that's
No. I have permission from all my gay friends to use the fag word whenever I want to, because, you know, I don't use it as a bludgeon. I use it as, I don't know who came up with it. Faggot is a burning stick.
A stick meant for burning.
Huh?
A stick meant for burning.
Well, it's a burning stick. You know, people used to light campfires. You know, they would go from village to village with a faggot. Who had his cigarette light? No, with a faggot, which was burning embers. Oh, come on, it's old English. Look it up. But I First Assembly of God, FAG. Oh my gracious!
And for the record, you have my permission to use that word too.
Are you gay?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. So I've got your permission. You know, a lot of my black friends give me permission to use the N word, but they just don't allow me here on the radio station. So there's nothing I can do about.
On a point on the IMUS thing, and I do apologize, but I kind of think that it's all in context, and people need to understand that.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, what you said, the words you used, the context of them gives them power, not the word itself.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I think this is what most white people don't understand about the N-word when it's used by black folk. When you use it in context, you take a powerfully hurtful word that's directed against you, and use it in conversation as much as you can. Refer to yourself and other. It takes the power of that word and trashes it. White people controlled the power of the N-word. Black people took the power out of it, as far as they're concerned. But white folks don't have the right to do that any more than heterosexuals have the right to use a slur against gay people. You can't do that. It's not your word. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So, hey, listen, Rob, got a break. Thanks. Thanks for pointing that out to me. The First Assembly of God. Oh, my goodness. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Where the what? You didn't play this. Yes, you did. I guess you did.
Need some wood?
Anybody could be that.
I love ABBA. Keep playing.
God is young and the music's high. With a bit of rock music, everything's fine during the Mumford dance. And when you get the
25 before the hour, are you ready to play Where's Gonzo in the major media? Have you noticed how virtually all of the news outlets have ignored what happened yesterday? I wonder how Rove managed that. It's absolutely, utterly astonishing. We have an attorney general who sat there yesterday and more than 70 times lied when he said he didn't remember this and he didn't remember that in his effort to cover up the true crimes that are going on in the White House. It will come out. It will come out. He may get a pass simply because the media failed to tell us it's important. You know, for the Attorney General of the United States, the head of the Justice Department, to be honest. Now, you see, if media are not telling us that, how are we to know that what Karl Rove did was a bad thing and what Gonzalez continues to do is a bad thing, huh? So, media are not telling us that the head of the Justice Department ought to be honest. That he or she ought to have a relatively sound memory, that he or she should be capable of running the Justice Department and be able to account for his staff. Oh, God, what novel ideas. So, you know, the average Joe Republican or the average Democrat who just can't sit in front of a television and C-SPAN 3 for 7 hours and watch this is probably walking around saying, well, what the hell is the noise all about? So he fired some... hell, I've gotten fired 5 times in the past 10 years. What difference? That's where this disgusting, contemptible, suck-up media, they would rather go where there has been personal tragedies on a scale that is almost impossible for you and I to comprehend, and invade that place, that space, those people's heads and hearts with their goddamn microphones and their filthy cameras and their stools and their props, and say, sit down here now, tell me again, did you really love your son? You know, now that he's dead, oh God, it must be a real tragedy to know that your son is dead. And we're holding off on the Bizarro Bush audio until Monday, the one from Tip City, Ohio, yesterday. But you got to hear it. We just don't want to overwhelm you with audio. I'm promising you a good show Monday. Oh my God, we're not going to have 29 cuts like we did the other night, last night. But when you hear what Bush was talking about at Tip City, Ohio, I've been to Tip City. Tip City is just what you think it is. They have chicken plucker plants there. For the second time this week, the FBI has raided the home and family business of a Republican member of Congress. This time, for you folks in Phoenix, you probably know him, Rick Renzi, Republican from Arizona. He's a three-term lawmaker, and he is in deep snot. This guy is going to go down just like Cunningham went down. This was a raid on the Patriot, I love that, insurance agency in, I'm going to mispronounce it, Sonoita, Arizona. Maybe I didn't mispronounce it. Details of the raid were not immediately available, according to the Associated Press, though, according to Roll Call, the D.C. Publication. Representative Renzi's most recent financial disclosure form lists the business as an asset belonging to his wife, Roberta, and it's valued at between $1 and $5 million. Okay, so what? So his wife owns a business. Well, according to reports, the Justice Department has been running kind of a two-track investigation into Renzi's activities regarding a land deal, as well as a piece of legislation he helped steer that may have improperly benefited a major campaign contributor. Oh, really? It was not immediately clear, according to Roll Call, which investigation the raid pertained to. We don't know. We got him in our gun sights for 6 or 90 things, so, you know, we just decided to go raid him. As a result of the raid, Renzi is stepping down from his seat on the House Intelligence Committee. He notified House Minority Leader John Boehner of the raid, and he said, "Today the FBI came to my family's business to obtain documents related to their investigation. I view these actions as the first step in bringing out the truth. Yay! Yay! Until this matter is resolved, I will take leave of absence from the House Intelligence Committee. But you know what? This is the first step to bring out the truth. Yay! Yay! Thank God they raided me so the truth will come out. Thank God they took all my computers so the truth will come out. Thank God they took all my business records and all this lying squatty stuff I've been doing. Yay, yay, yay. Now the truth will come out. Yee." These people make me sick. So John Boehner issues a statement. He says, "This afternoon, Rick informed me that the office of his family's private business had been the subject of an FBI search earlier today. In a similarly proactive fashion, he also informed me of his decision to step down from a seat on the Intelligence Committee to avoid any unnecessary distractions on the panel and its critical work. Rick's decision was made with the best interests of the House of Representatives in mind, and I credit him for the decisive and forthright manner in which he has responded to these developments. He and his family have my best wishes for a speedy resolution of this matter." Don't you love that? "In a similarly proactive fashion, he informed me of his decision. God, you know, Rick, you're a hell of a man. I really appreciate you. I know you're probably going to go to prison like Randy Cunningham, but by golly, you just stepped right up and I know you want the truth to come out. I know. If it takes an FBI raid to take everything except your underwear to get the truth to come out, well, Rick, that's how America works." Now, it was just last Friday that the FBI raided the Oakton, Virginia home of Representative John Doolittle, who is a representative from California, to obtain documents related to his wife's business, Sierra Dominion. Woo! That is a hot name, Sierra Dominion. What do they make, whips and chains? John and Julia Doolittle are both under investigation for their ties to incarcerated former lobbyist Jack Abramoff. Now, in contrast to our Mr. Renzi, who just went immediately to John Boehner and said, in contrast to that, Doolittle never told Boehner of the raid, and the news didn't reach Republican leaders until 6 days after the event occurred. And Doolittle stepped down from his seat yesterday on the House Appropriations Committee. He was on the Appropriations Committee. Well, that makes sense, too. Now, this Renzi dude, who ran for re-election for his third term, had what is referred to as a tougher-than-anticipated re-election fight in last November against an attorney in Arizona, Ellen Simon. Renzi won 51% of the vote. Now, you people that sent this thug back to office, oh, I know, he's innocent till proven guilty. Oh, yeah, okay, just like Clinton was, huh? Anyway, you people who voted for Renzi, back at you. Pretty soon you're going to have a jailed House member trying to run your business, huh? And then there's this. I got this from Mickey in Dahlonega, Georgia, which is a really cool town up here in the North Georgia Mountains, Dahlonega. We went to a festival up there where you could buy as many Confederate flags and anti-black stuff as you could possibly want. They still have houses up there with the little what do you call that little statue, the little black statue, the livery boy standing out there. What are those called? Yeah, you can still buy those up there. Little dressed up in black tights and a red waistcoat. Little black boy that is, you know, very, very much part of Southern heritage. And Confederate flags and, you know, KKK banners and stuff. So, yeah, Mickey, I'm real familiar with Dahlonega. Ugh! But Mickey signs off. Mickey and Dahlonega slowly going insane. Mickey is a good guy. Not everybody in Dahlonega is, related by marriage. You know, when you have brothers marry sisters like we do in North Georgia, everybody eventually winds up related. Well, Mickey is not part of that crew, but he writes, I bought a Quran the other day, and there was something in it that disturbed me greatly. It's not what you think, Mike. It's not some obscure verse that I would interpret as meaning to go kill and skin Americans alive. No, it was a pamphlet for one of these evangelical churches around here. It read, good news, you can still go to heaven. You see, someone stuck it in there for someone like me who, for whatever reason, would buy a Quran. They don't know me and my motives, yet they have the unmitigated temerity, the audacity, the arrogance to think I need the help of some crazy people who go into bookstores putting church pamphlets into other religious texts. They want me to know. Now, he identifies it, and I'm going to identify him. Get your pencils out. It is the Lighthouse Church in Dawsonville, Georgia. Now, Mickey writes, if they put it in a book, they may not mind you saying it on the air. They did me a favor. They left in there a phone number, website, and directions to the church. They're trying to be my beacon of light. Well, I'm going to tell them what I think of it. Here's the information on the pamphlet. Lighthouse Baptist Church, Dr. Charles Blackstock, pastor, 129 Harmony Church Road, Dawsonville, Georgia, 30534, phone number 706-265-9868. Once again, that phone number is 706-265-9868. Or you can go to the website, lighthouse-baptist.com. Mickey writes, P.S., to further my paranoia, the book design on the Quran was done by a man named Pat Covert. Hey, Mickey in Dahlonega, Georgia, pal, you got to get your kicks where you can, right? I understand, pal. I live not far from Dahlonega, as a matter of fact. Ow! We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
There's blood on your hands, mister. You the war's red flag. Will Jesus wash the blood stains from?
You're listening to Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio. Turn down your speakers. It'll be our secret.
9 before the hour. Thanks to Gregory. The term I was looking for was lawn jockey. Isn't that a nice word, too? Two words. Lawn jockey. The little black boy dressed out like a like somebody going on an English fox hunt with his hand out. Hi, may I hold your horse's reins? Suzanne in Los Angeles wants us to know, here we go, we're within 35 signatures of another milestone on draftgore.com. If we get another 35 signatures, it'll be at 71,000. So let's go, all right? We just need 35. Go to draftgore.com and sign up. Are you only allowed to sign once? And Jeff, a.k.a. George Clooney, in Pittsburgh, California, writes, he sent me a copy of a letter he's sending to Ted Hager. Dear Ted, please, 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 Ted, stay full hetero. That way I can still be George Clooney because I'm expecting to get a new Tesla Roadster in August, and I surely can't wait. Okay. The Lighthouse Baptist Church, if you missed the phone number, it's 706-265-9868. That's the Reverend Dr. Charles Blackstock up here in Dawsonville, Georgia, who figures it's okay to violate somebody else's religious beliefs by sticking a pamphlet into a copy of the Quran. Now, can you imagine? Can you imagine? True Seeker, let your mind free for just a moment tonight. Let it float. Okay, go ahead. Untether it. There. Good. Now, in this free-floating state, imagine what would happen if one of the good Baptists in Dawsonville, Georgia, are you still floating? Let it float. Let it go. Walked into the nearest bookstore, Christian or otherwise, and picked up a Bible. Let it float. No. There you go. And opened the Bible, just, you know, opened it, and out fell a pamphlet that said, Inshallah, or Allah loves you, or you can still go to heaven, just accept the word of Muhammad, or something to that effect. What do you suppose would happen to that bookstore in Dawsonville, Georgia? You're right. It would be firebombed. But it's okay to do this to somebody else's holy book. Now, I've said it before. I think all, you know, all religions are just, you know, what they are what they are. I'm not going to bash religion tonight. I really am not. They are what they are. But It just takes, doesn't it take some act of arrogance that is almost supernatural to open up somebody else's holy book and stick in one of your propaganda flyers that essentially says, don't read this garbage, read our garbage, because our garbage will take you to heaven. I hate that story, but Mickey in Dahlonega, thanks for sending it to me. I hope it's true, because I would hate for Pastor, Doctor, whatever the hell his name is, to get a million phone calls and it's not true. What else we got here? Oh, the Pentagon now confirms that Bush has been lying. The Pentagon, the war-making apparatus of the United States government, now confirms that it has enough money to pay for the Iraq war through June, despite warnings from Bush that troops are being harmed by the Democrats' failure to quickly deliver more money. The Congressional Research Service released a report a couple of weeks ago showing that the Army actually has enough money in its existing budget to operate through June. Bush and his allies wouldn't accept that report. Mitch McConnell, who is just one of the creepiest senators I have ever seen on the electric TV, Mitch McConnell said on Fox television that the Congressional Research Service was wrong when it said there's enough money to last until June. The Congressional Research Service said the talk about an April deadline for getting the funding bill to the president, is that something of a scare tactic? That's what Fox asked this freak, and he said, well, the problem is the Congressional Research Service is wrong. Okay, McConnell, I suppose the Pentagon is wrong, too, you right-wing Nazi bastard, you. Oh, I hate these people. Oh, I hate them. So Bush's own Pentagon says, now all this comes out because, of course, Harry Reid has stated the obvious. He said today, water is wet, things fall down, not up, and the war in Iraq is lost. And the Republicans are saying, oh, my God. Mitch McConnell said, I can't begin to imagine how our troops in the field. I can't begin to imagine how our troops in the field who are risking their lives every day are going to react when they get back to base and hear that the Democrat leader of the United States Senate has declared the war is lost. I'll tell you what, Mitch, why don't you suit up and take your lovely wife, Elaine Chao, and just suit up and go over to Iraq and kill us a few gooks. Why don't you do that, since you missed doing that the first time we were killing gooks? Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. Very weird surprise for certain members of the United States Air Force in Texas at Camp Bullis. There has been a small but steady stream, this according to Associated Press, and this is from Army Times, a small but steady stream of Air Force personnel being trained to do Army duty under the Army chain of command, which is a very clear sign that the Pentagon is scouring the military to find more bodies to throw into the meat grinder in Iraq. Retired Brigadier General Kevin Ryan, a senior fellow at Harvard University's Belfer Center in the John F. Kennedy School of Government, said, quote, what we've seen is the Department of Defense continuing to find ways to meet the requirements imposed by the commander-in-chief. I hadn't heard about this. Had you? No, I haven't either. Most Air Force enlisted personnel, of course, haven't had ground combat training. And in fact, you don't have to read the article to understand that the Army has its own sets of weaponry and terminology and chains of command and ranking systems, all of which have to be taught to these Air Force guys and girls, right? You join the Air Force to do what? Guess what? You're going to go to Iraq. You're going to be part of a ground force. Now, the Camp Bullis training in Texas is in an area of the camp, according to this name, for two airmen killed in Iraq convoys. And that's what these people are being trained to do. Air Force personnel going to drive these unprotected vehicles. The courses that they are taking include courses on assault rifles, roadside bomb recognition, combat first aid, and driving tactics. The airmen live in a camp designed like a forward operating base, sleeping on cots, eating MREs, and scrambling to shelter when air raid sirens sound. The training culminates with a 72-hour exercise that includes instructors dressed in long white shirts and tapestry caps. Let me repeat that. Dressed in long white shirts and tapestry caps. Yeah, that's how all the bombers dress in Iraq, right? And these trainers, dressed in long white shirts and tapestry caps, are planting mock roadside bombs and shooting blanks at the convoy from open windows in a mock urban warfare village. And I love this line in the article. Many airmen were surprised at the assignment. Join the Air Force and go get shot at in an urban civil war that will feed one thing, Bush's ego. They're using Air Force personnel now. All right, let's do some phone calls. Let's start with AJ, the Music Factory in Catskills, New York. Hey, AJ.
Hey, handsome, how are you tonight?
If I were any better, I would probably be on drugs.
Well, isn't that nice?
Yeah, well, you know, I used to say that and mean it. Now I just say it just cynically, you know what I'm saying?
Well, my wife is laid up in bed tonight. She's not feeling too well.
Got a cold? Got the flu? What?
Yeah, I think so. You know, up here in the Catskills, we've had really weird weather.
Well, y'all have huge mosquitoes up there, too. Has she been bitten by some kind of a bug?
No, because of the late snows, we haven't gotten into the mosquitoes yet. But it's not the mosquitoes that are the problem. It's the black flies.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. That's right.
That's what we're looking for.
The black flies, yeah.
Yes,
well,
sir.
Well, just keep the mosquito netting over her just in case.
I will.
Right.
I will. Hey, listen, what did I tell you about apologizing for your language? I told you not to do that, didn't I?
Well, no. Yeah. Well, yes. But, you know,
I was away for vacation last week and I came back. I listened to all the programs so that I could catch up.
Yeah.
And I heard you apologizing. Now we said.
Well, I was apologizing to the kids. You know, I found out I didn't know that preteens, you know, I think teenagers can handle just about any kind of language. But preteens listen to this program. And when I was in Phoenix earlier this week or the last week, and I met a couple of these kids with their parents and apologized to them in person. I said, you know, when you hear Uncle Mike start to get into the bad language, just cover your ears and run from the room.
I don't know. It's a much bigger debate. But, you know, the preteens are also watching the Virginia shootings. And I don't, and the Gonzalez hearings. And
that's true. Yeah.
I just, you know, to reiterate what I said months ago, I don't see how you could say anything that's more profane than what's already out there. But anyway, what I wanted to tell you was I wanted to make a quick pitch and then I wanted to ask you a question. First of all, I wanted to just kind of join you in trying to get people to join Nova M. It's been the best $100 we ever invested.
Really? Well, thanks for saying that.
Well, I mean, thank you for all your good work. And you know, less than $10 a month, I mean, you pay the $100 and then you get you get 2 months free. And here's the way I look at it. The way I look at it is it's a way of giving to all the liberal causes at the same time. Because when you facilitate open dialogue on these topics and you facilitate informative radio, then you lift all the causes at the same time. You know what I mean?
That's a good point.
So please, folks, this is just such a great thing. Which leads me to my question, and I'm a little bit confused. I mean, maybe I'm the only person in the country who doesn't understand how this works, but why do we hear Nova M and Air America sort of kind of wrapped around each other? You know what I mean? I mean, you know, I hear Air America commercials. I hear Air America news
M. The quick answer is a lot of the stations that still carry Air America programming also carry Nova M programming. because Nova M has some good programming from the liberal perspective, and Air America still does also. Now, as far as Air America continuing to be carried on as many stations as it is now, we'll see what happens. I frankly think that the management team, you know, the new boss at Air America is pretty much the same as the old boss.
So you said.
Yeah, so I'll be curious to see what happens. But there is also programming carried on Air America affiliates that comes from the Jones Radio Network, which also carries some. I think Stephanie Miller is really syndicated by Jones. Randy Rhodes is syndicated by Air America. I'm syndicated by Nova M, and yet you can hear all three of us on, for example, the Phoenix, KPHX, the Phoenix station.
I see. Uh-huh.
So it's nobody has an exclusive deal because content providers, that would be syndicators or networks, simply don't own, you know, 200, 300, 400, 500 stations. The only organization that owns that sort of a number of stations is Clear Channel.
So then is it the same way with conservative? I should say neocon radio, or does that work differently?
No. That's the neocons are to radio what I don't know what maggots are to the decomposition of dead flesh.
Yeah.
There are scores of little chains of radio stations owned by right wingers who pick and choose, and some of the right-wing programming is carried on otherwise respectable networks. I say otherwise because any network like ABC Radio that carries Sean Hannity or
yeah.
Rush Limbaugh and at the same time is owned by Disney, I can never figure that out. A network owned by Disney that carries hate mongers, thugs, liars, and punks like you find with Hannity or Limbaugh or so many of these right-wingers. It's astonishing to me. So anyway, yep. I'm glad I was able to give you that tutorial on.
I appreciate it, and I hope other people do too. Now I'm going to go sign up for DraftGore.com.
I love your comment though about supporting Nova M. You support so many liberal causes. You are absolutely right, AJ.
Join it.
Thanks, man.
Peace.
All right, back at you. Take care. We'll be back, Truth Seekers. Stay with us.
For a supper, wondering what's become of me. I got a 008 Tina Martin guitar in the backseat of the car. Hey, I am leaving Mississippi with the radio on. Cause when you can't find a friend, you still got the radio. When you can't find a friend, you still got the radio.
It's okay, Republicans. The pain will be over soon. Take a deep breath. Find your happy place. It's more of Mike Malloy.
Anyone past the hour. Then there's this little tidbit. This is from the website 365gay.com. And thanks to Bob in Boston who sent this to me. He said, "Hi, Mike, I thought you could use a laugh. Damn, when I grew up, all I had was National Geographic." What does he mean? Well, at 365gay.com, here's the story. The headline, "Father Says Son's Traumatized by Lesbian Library Book." A Bentonville, Arkansas man is demanding that city pay him $20,000 for the pain and suffering of his sons after they discovered a book on lesbian sex in their local library. Earl Adams, in a letter to the city, said, quote, "They were greatly disturbed. We had many sleepless nights in our house," end quote. Well, I hope to shout. Mr. Adams says he wants $10,000 per child, the maximum allowed under the Arkansas obscenity law? Mr. Adams also wants the city of Bentonville to fire the library director, Cindy Souter, The boys, aged 14 and 16, came across the book while the 14-year-old was looking for material on military academies. Oh, sure. The book, titled The Whole Lesbian Sex Book by Felice Newman, was moved to an inaccessible area of the library after Mr. Adams first complained, and then removed altogether following a second complaint from the man. In a letter to the mayor of Bentonville, Arkansas, Mr. Adams said the book is, quote, patently offensive and lacks any artistic, literary, or scientific value, end quote. Yeah, but it's great to look at when you're 16. Damn! Whether you're boy or girl. A city attorney said that Mr. Adams' demand for money is without merit. The city library board is removing the book and said it will look for another volume on lesbians, and if something, quote, more appropriate, end quote, is not found, then the whole lesbian sex book will be returned. Mr. Adams, the complainer, stated in an email to the local newspaper there, quote, any effort to reinstate the book will be met with legal action and protests from the Christian community, end quote. Well, yeah, that makes sense because, you know, there are no lesbians in the Christian community. So, yeah, that makes sense. The paper said that Mr. Adams asked to answer questions by email because he said he feared being misquoted. Meanwhile, the librarian, Cindy Souter, has announced her intention to resign, but said the decision had nothing to do with the controversy. She said the job is part-time and she needs to devote more time to her other business, which is fill in the blank. Yeah, can you imagine now, a 14-year-old boy and a 16-year-old boy, they're looking for books on the military academies, right, and they stumble across a book about lesbian sex, and they were shocked. Shocked, I tell you. They were absolutely shocked. Yeah, many restless nights in the Adam household. Yeah, probably so. But I don't think it's from being shocked. Let me see that again, David. All right, here, look, Ralph, quick. Then I get it. Jesus. And the father, can you imagine the father? What do you got under the blankets there, boys? Let me see. Holy Toledo, what is that? Ruth, come in here, look at this. And then she comes in and looks at it, and she says, So the whole family, you know what happened? The whole family except Dad here just thought this is a great book. You know damn good and well the two teenage boys did. My God, are you kidding me? And Mom sees it and goes, oh, they do that? Ooh. And Dad is just standing there, I'm losing control of my family. I'm losing control. Oh, it just, it just drives me mad. As in insane. The fixation on other people's sexuality that seems, I don't know, it just seems to be so American and so Muslim. I have to say, the Muslims are just as insane about this as fundamental Christians. Only the Muslims go ahead and kill you. You know, whereas the Christians will just, well, you better get therapy. I'm going to sue. You know, the Muslims will say, you did what? Die! What's wrong with you people? What's wrong with you people? It's sex. That's all it is. And it beats killing people. You know what I'm saying?
What do you want me to do? She said you found someone who's gonna hold her. And she said you found someone who's gonna understand. She don't need nobody to be her man.
She don't need nobody to be her man.
She has a girlfriend now. She has a girlfriend now.
Nighty night, truth seekers. Time to snuggle up with your favorite screamer.
More Mike Malloy.
We were young together. We were on the ball.
26 before the hour. We were talking earlier today, Kathy and I, about some of the folks who used to be in touch with us when we had the old IE America radio program and first started with Air America. And, you know, about how, you know, people come, people go. Regular listeners, they, you know, they plug in for maybe a year or two, and you know, stuff happens. You know, their schedules change or whatever. And folks kind of disappear for a while. Sometimes they'll resurface, sometimes they don't. But we were talking about all the people that we miss. One of the people that we were saying we missed the most, one of, there's a whole clutch, but it was our former Bailey Island bureau chief, Bailey Island, Massachusetts, Bailey Island bureau chief, MatCom. Remember MatCom, Matthew? And we, I was thinking about it because what Matt used to do on Fridays on the DemocraticUnderground.com Malloy thread, he would open the bar. Remember that? He would set up drinks, and there would just be this line of beers or shot glasses or whatever across the screen. And, of course, we would just sit there and look at that and go, oh, God. Because it looks so good. But if anybody knows out there what happened to MatCom, I sure would like to hear from him again sometime. Matthew, and he and I and, oh, God, who, Will Pitt and who else? Ben Birch and just a whole clutch of people. I remember the first big anti-war rally in D.C. before the invasion and occupation of Iraq. It was a huge. Maybe y'all remember that. A lot of people. I don't know. It was 600,000-700,000 people turned out for that. It was huge. And that's when we first met an awful lot of people from Democratic Underground and White Rose Society and Will Pitt, and I had a bad cold. Remember that? I had a bad cold that weekend, and I was taking antihistamines that I hate to take because they just, you know, screw up your whole system, but it was a toss-up. Do I want to breathe, or do I want to be coherent? And I figured I'd go for the breathing because I didn't have to do anything except march. Well, you take those things, antihistamines, I don't know how they work on you, but they make me high, kind of like, I guess, the way Limbaugh gets high. And that's one of the reasons I don't like them, because it's just, they scramble your brains. Well, anyone knows you're not supposed to drink when you're taking antihistamines. Or was it decongestant? Which was it, Kathy? Either one. So, you know, I was jacked up on these things just so I could breathe and walk. And so we meet Matt and Will, and they had went back to the hotel after the march, and a whole bunch of us went to get something to eat. We came back to the hotel for a gathering. Had a couple of rooms, and there must have been 30 or 40 people there. And there was food and drink. And Matt, it was either Matt or Will, had the bottle of scotch. And somebody made me a drink. And so, you know, I'm tossing it down. And the combination of pills and booze is never a good combination. And I realized that when all of a sudden... You know, I thought I was going to have to ask somebody to call for the EMTs to come out. It was just so the story developed that Will Pitt, that's when Will Pitt tried to kill me. It was when we were in D.C. And I don't know that it was Will. It might have been Matt. But anyway, I'm sorry. That's just stupid talk. Let's go back to your phone calls. But if anybody knows how to get in touch with MatCom, our old Bailey Island bureau chief, send him a holler and say, you know, why don't you ever listen to the Malloy Show anymore? Back to your phone calls. Kathy is calling from Pennsylvania. Kathy, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Kathy.
My husband's a truck driver, and I've been riding with him for the last couple months, and he turned me on to you. And I just wanted to tell you that last night's show was something that I just could never believe I was ever going to hear. That was really good.
Yeah,
thank
well,
you.
You know, I agree, and that was all Kathy. All I did was
I know, you said that.
Oh, my God. And, you know, this is amazing because I have gotten probably today 15, 16, 17 emails, which is a lot, saying basically what you're saying, that listening to Gonzalez last night and, you know, really having a chance to hear some of his comments and what these senators were saying was just a real eye-opener, and it was for me, too. So I appreciate the compliment. It's very, very kind of you to say that. I can accept that because that was Kathy's work.
Oh, I know, but the way you crescendo, like you're up and down, it's just really, really great.
Well, thanks.
I have a cold. But I did want to say this about Haggard.
Yeah, about the Reverend Ted.
Now that he's forced to live a life of lies, I'm anxious to see how long it's going to take his wife to perform a Winkler on him.
Oh, God.
Of dressing up like Andy Dick.
You're talking about the scissors thing?
No, the Winkler, the preacher's wife.
Oh, the preacher. Oh, that's right. The woman who just was found guilty of manslaughter. I'm so glad they didn't find her guilty of murder. God only knows, literally, what
was really good.
What was going on in that marriage? Yeah.
I know. So I'm sure that's going to happen again, but maybe I'm wrong. But one can only hope.
Yeah. Well, no. I think Ted, the Reverend Ted, ought to just for once in his life, tell the truth and sit down with his spouse and his kids and say, look, this is the way it is.
And he
could very, very completely say to his kids, I love you. He could say to his wife, I love you. But my sexual orientation is what it is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
But people don't do that, especially people in the evangelical community. I don't care what their religion, this fundamentalist community. Especially in Islam, Judaism, and Christianity, they're all three religions of the book. They all look to Abraham. They all look to the so-called Old Testament. That's what the Jews and the Christians call it. But and all of it lays out all this ugly stuff about homosexuality, about dietary rules, about stoning your children if they misbehave. It's just a damn shame. It's just a damn shame.
I know. And after listening to you last night, when you have to go to sleep in the truck after we drive all day and he's radio,
yeah,
like, you know, constant, because you can't go, like, he's so addicted to it. And it's like after you try to go to sleep, after you think of everything that you've said, just. Yeah, it's a weird world out there.
It is indeed. Thanks, Kathy, for checking in, and my best to your husband. Thanks to y'all for listening.
Yes.
As you travel across the country, I really appreciate it. Take care.
Yes.
Drive safely. Scott is calling from Federal Way, Washington. Hey, Scott.
Hey. Yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about Insane McCain.
Did you hear his bomb Iran thing?
You know, I'm glad I don't live in Arizona anymore, and I'm glad he does not represent my state. I mean, you know, I think it's like what you were saying that night about Don Imus and about how certain white men, when they get to have so much money and get to have so much status, how they feel that they think they can just say anything they want,
right,
and get away with it.
Yep.
You know, and that, and then his lie about, you know, it's safe to shop in Iraq and all of that kind of stuff. I just, you know, what the hell is the matter with him?
I honestly believe that he is suffering. You know, this guy was held in a prison facility or a torture camp, not unlike what we do to people now in North Vietnam. The reason his arms are deformed at this point is because, from what I've read, he was held in torture positions where his arms were literally pulled out of their sockets. They couldn't kill him because his father was the chief admiral of naval forces in the entire southeastern Pacific. I mean, his father was like the equivalent, I think, of a 3 or 4 star general. And McCain was a pilot, a Navy pilot. And he suffered some torture, which you know, when you're bombing a civilian population that has done nothing to you, someone might suggest that torture was probably the least of what someone who bombs civilians should suffer. I remember that time. I remember the pictures of children being burned alive with napalm, and people being executed in the streets and villages and cities going up in flames for no reason whatsoever. And the perpetrators of that, the invader, once again, was us. So McCain gets shot down, gets held in prison, gets tortured, finally gets released, comes back to this country, and as far as I'm concerned, he is suffering, like anyone would suffer, from severe post-traumatic stress disorder that's never going to leave him. It's always going to be there. And he has as much business running for president as my house cat does. Hold on a second. I'll come back to you in a minute, Scott. I got a break here. I got a break here. This is Nova M Radio. Stay with us. No.
Don't go to bed angry. Let Mike Malloy do it for you on Nova M Radio.
Whatever happened to Boston? Back to Scott in Federal Way, Washington. All right, where were we, Scott?
Yeah, we were talking about old insane McCain. I was living down there in Arizona at the time, that old Keaton. Yeah, the Keating Five scandal thing that he was going through.
Yeah, nobody talks about that anymore, do they?
No, they sure don't. You know, everybody talks about, you know, he's honorable, he's done this and he's done all of that stuff. You know, to me, he's just nothing but a traitor. You know, I just, you know, with these guys opening up their big mouths like that, him with his comment, Imus with his comment, thinking that he can put people in their place by saying what he said, you know, I don't know. It's just, you know, it gets sickening listening to that stuff.
It does. It does indeed.
You know, it just makes you, I don't know, it just makes you just want to just smack somebody around. It just, you know, I don't know. But anyway, by the way, I wanted to mention your Nova M celebration party that the clips are on YouTube, so you can actually go there and see it.
Oh, my God, there's some video?
Yeah, that's out there on YouTube. And I didn't know that. I guess Barry Gordon, I guess, has a show on Nova M now.
I think, yeah.
Because he was one of the clips was of him as well on there, too. And I was like, yeah, this is a guy. I remember him watching him years ago on Archie Bunker's place years ago.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with so many of there's a whole bunch of shows that are on Nova M and more coming, some of whom that are coming, and that's all I'm going to say. I am familiar with, but a lot of the people I met out there who have programs, especially on the weekend or various times during the day, I don't know them yet. So, and I know Barry Gordon, I think is one of those people. A lot of folks know who he is, and I'm just getting to know these people.
But anyway, I'm glad that there's stations like that are around that are getting the word out there and stuff, and that all talk radio is not this right wing. Garbage, maggot infested.
say what you really mean, Scott. I agree with you, man. Thanks for checking in, okay?
Thanks.
All right, take care. Have a good weekend. Robert in San Mateo, California. Hey, Robert.
Yeah, Mike. You know, I don't know if anybody's been over to InfoWars today, but I was looking at this piece on Kucinich and how these politicians, they're so maddening. I mean, I love the guy for the Department of Peace, and you know, he says he wants to reopen 9/11, but he's talking about banning all civilian handguns.
I mean, what's he talking about? Just a total across the board?
Yeah. And I mean, you know, some nutcase who's on SSRI inhibitors, like uptake inhibitors, like Hinckley, who shot Reagan, and all these other nutcases, the Columbine guys, they're all on these damn psychotropic drugs. And this shooter in Virginia was on these drugs too. And yet they want to ban guns when this guy is the defect, you know, the shooter has some serious problems. Oh, they all do.
Don't you wish, though, because I damn sure do, don't you wish you lived in a society where owning guns, anyone owning guns or getting guns other than decent, respectful law enforcement, owning guns would be seen as some kind of a psychosis, an aberration. Wouldn't you love to live in a society where you wouldn't feel the need, like I do, to have some sort of protection? Wouldn't that be nice? And then the whole gun issue would just disappear.
Well, of course it would be wonderful. But the thing is, as long as we've got 99% the DNA of a chimp, we're going to have boundaries. And those boundaries are going to have to be clearly defined. Like, the reason why the Founding Fathers wanted us to all have guns so that we could form militias that were under government control is so that tyrants couldn't put their foot on our necks. If we give up guns, if we outlaw handguns, the only people that'll have guns will be outlaws.
Well, now, come on. That's so old it's got a beard on it.
I know, but it's true.
Well, I'm so ambiguous about this whole gun issue. I hate guns. I'm talking about handguns. I used to hunt small game, and I've done it more than twice, like what's his name, Mitt Romney. And I was just taught when you do go hunting, eat what you kill, and all that kind of stuff. So. But as far as handguns are concerned, I hate them, and I wish it wasn't an issue.
But what I'm getting at for a lot of it is that Kucinich, by taking the stand, is alienating a lot of the Second Amendment rights people that are supporting the 9/11 investigation. They see this kind of stuff, and they go, like, does the guy not understand what the real problem is? There are millions of guns out there, and they don't go just get up and kill people. There's defective people that pull the trigger on other people. They're the problem, and this guy, by all rights, should have been picked up by the system. I mean, the system should have realized that he had problems,
right.
But it didn't.
I know. I understand what you're saying. I do, Robert, and I don't have any snappy comeback or any hip statement to make. I understand what you're saying, man.
It's just a price we pay. We have to be vigilant, and we have to have these screening systems. People that have mental defects should not be anywhere near anything that goes bang or is sharp and pointy, like the guy who is actually running the government right now.
That's true. But let me just toss this out. The one flaw I can immediately see in that argument that, you know, use a screening process and keep guns out of the hands of crazies, is that crazy it can be a situational thing. I may be totally sane today, and you know, 3 weeks from now, just have something happen to me where I'm just pushed to the edge. And if I've still got the gun that I got when I was totally sane, you know, it's a defense, temporary insanity. So, you
well,
know,
you know what Forrest Gump says, crazy is as crazy does.
Well, that's very true. Hey, listen, I got a break. Thanks for checking in, pal. Appreciate it, Robert. Take care. We'll be back after the break, Truth Seekers, with your phone calls. The number here is 800-989-1480. Stay with us, please.
Thank you.
after 11, about 7 minutes past 11. This is the Nova M Radio Network. My name is Mike Malloy. Thank you for tuning in if you're just joining us. If you have stuck around through the previous 2 hours, Jesus, Friday night, you don't have anything to do? Man. Me either. All right, back to your phone calls. Harvey is calling from Phoenix. Hey, Harvey.
Hey, Mike. Geez. Your operator needs to turn up the volume when we're on hold because we can't hear everything.
All right.
Anyways.
Operator!
Yeah, operator. Anyways, I've been listening to you guys since you came on the air, and I've got several friends and neighbors, everything, listening to you. I'm getting a pretty good group going.
Well, thank you.
And of all the good commentators, you're one of the top two.
Well, that's nice to know. Thank you.
Well, yeah, but gee, you get her done. And one thing, I had one religious person when you were doing one of your rants, and you said, "God damn it."
Yeah.
Well, I do that, and when I say "God damn it," I mean help me, God damn it. And he said, "Oh, that's taking the Lord's name in vain." And I don't see it that way. And I hope you don't.
Well, I guess that's one of the reasons that it's not on the list of words that if you if they are used, the FCC can pull your broadcast license. I don't believe that. And again, I'm just going by what the religions say. I don't believe that that's taking God's name in vain, unless any utterance of God, whose name cannot be spoken anyway, any utterance of God that is not strictly in a worshipful way would be taking the name in vain. I hate the fact that I slip into profanity at times. I really do, because to me the use of profanity is a clear indication that the person using it in any given moment isn't thinking clearly and is not expressing herself or himself in a way that could be much more effective. So I hate the fact that that an occasional profane word slips out of my mouth. I just don't like it.
Well, the reason I'm calling, Mike, is for everybody's benefit, all the listeners and whatever, is that you know, we know what you mean, and you mean it. And honesty, you know, sometimes you have to, you know, put something else to it.
Well, I guess that's the way I justify it. I just say, you know, I'm just as flawed as anybody else. But I get, you know, I get sometimes I will get emails from program directors of stations that carry the program, and they're very sincere, and they just say, look, you know, we get complaints about your language. People who want to hear the program, but they just take offense at that kind of language. And I usually will write back and say, you're right, and I'm sorry, and I do apologize, and I'll try to watch it. But so anyway, I feel like I'm in church tonight.
Well, yeah, and you're
confessing.
The guy that took your call, why he wasn't too sure if he wanted to put me on hold or not.
Yeah, well, that's because he wants me to stay employed. But listen, Father Harvey, thanks for taking my confession tonight.
Well, yeah, but it's constructive criticism, and I need to talk to your guy off the air.
Okay, well, let me put you on hold, and maybe he'll talk to you. He might just hang up on you, though, so, you know, because my guy, you know, our producer, associate producer over in Phoenix, is you know, he's a bit of a psycho too. He's liable to climb through the phone, Harvey, and just kill you. You know, I don't know, but then again, maybe not. Rodney is calling from Atlanta. Rodney, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good, man. Hey, I got a situation going on here, Mike. I don't know. Maybe you can help.
All right.
Okay.
Keep it clean.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it is. In regard to the Virginia shooter, right?
Yeah.
My wife came home today, and I saw her had on, like, some ribbons on her chest that she got at work.
Yeah.
So I asked her, I said, what is that for? And she said, for the, you know, the people, you
right.
know, who died in Virginia.
Right.
So I said, well, you seem pretty caught up into it now. All these other time I was talking to you about just people who are dying in general in Iraq, why haven't you been supporting that?
Right.
I said, 33 people died today, and you went out of your way to do everything to say you're supporting, and you start wearing a ribbon, you gave contribution and all of that. I said, what about all the people that are dying? You know, people who are dying, been dying. I said, the same day, 180-something people died. How come you haven't done anything? You know, so I told her, I said, I think the country is very one-sided. You know, it's like because 33 people died, everybody's, you know, so caught up into it, and everybody's, you know, talking about it and getting all caught up into the 33 people, but not looking at life in general. You know, people's lives who are just dying just in general. It doesn't matter who they are, you know.
Well, you know what it is. It's the violence aspect. Somebody goes berserk on a college campus in the United States or the UK or Australia or Nigeria or wherever and starts shooting students, that is such an aberration. But on by the same token, I understand what you're saying. You know, on the same day that occurred in this country, there was no debate on the almost 200 Iraqis who were blown up and butchered I think the day before, because the United States and the United Kingdom went over there and totally destabilized their society. So I hear what you're saying, and I, you know, I share your weirdness on it.
But you know, I told her though, Mike. You know, we only react though, Mike, when the situation is directly is dealing with us directly.
Right.
You see, the stuff that are indirectly, we don't really see it as anything. You know, because
right.
I was saying to her, if this, because our back is against the wall right now, and this happens here in America, you know, everybody's caught up into it. But what about the rest of the world? We all rely on each other. You know,
sure.
Every country relies on each other. So, you know, if something is happening in another country, you know, everybody should stand up for that. Just the same way. That our lives are the same life. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, but I wish that your point of view was the dominant point of view, but as you know, your point of view is not the dominant point of view, Rodney. It's what you're talking about is compassion and brotherhood and sisterhood and respect, and that just doesn't exist out there, and you know that just like I know that.
Yeah, let me ask you this, Mike. She told me that I should go ahead. She said they're supporting the Virginia Tech incident, which I said, I do support it also. All lives are lives. But this is what she told me. I should go ahead and form a group that's going to support the people that are dying in Iraq. I said, then I'm labeled as a terrorist. You get
what
I'm saying?
Sure.
I'm labeled as a terrorist. I said the whole country needs to come together and stop what's going on, period. It doesn't matter where you're from. What happened, what situation, what school, what country, everybody should come together and put a stop to these killings.
That's,
you know what I mean?
That's true. That's true.
So, you know, right now we're in a down. We're going down, man. We're not getting along because of this foolishness. I just can't believe it.
Well, don't bring all this violence outside into your, into the sanctity of your home. You know, you got to keep that out, right? Where is he? What happened? All right, Rodney. All right, Rodney, listen, I got to go, man. Take care.
All right. Just have a good night, man.
Keep all that weirdness away from you and your wife, all right? Take care, Rodney.
Who made me judge and jury? We'll be right back.
of a brave Iraqi citizen who had his hand cut off by Saddam Hussein.
Ain't no doubt about it, baby, it's you I need to be. I'm wrestling with a lion and a grizzly bear.
Didn't take long to shake the hand of a man who had his hand cut off. Oh, God, never mind. Okay, an update for you from Suzanne in L.A. Didn't take long, Mike. We're at 71,002. All right, well, that's cool. Daniel from Arizona, who signed the petition, suggested Gore announce in the fall, name Wesley Clark immediately as his running mate, and also publicly declare a cabinet consisting of General Shinseki as Secretary of Defense, Richard Clark, CIA Director, Bill Clinton, Secretary of State, and get Jimmy Carter back on the Palestinian-Israeli crisis. Suzanne in L.A. Yeah, okay. Back to your phone calls. Who's next in the torture chamber here? Gary is calling from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Hey, Gary.
You know, you've touched so many topics tonight. I'll try to pull them all together. You started out about Camp Bullis. During Vietnam, I trained there. Went through their truck driving program there.
Uh-huh.
And it's... You know, it's kind of an interesting location. It's just on a suburb of San Antonio, and they've got several Air Force bases that are right close to there that they could pull into it.
Right.
But, you know, I think it's to pull it all together, I think it's indicative of the fact that they're losing. They're losing the momentum of people signing up and joining up and supporting their program. They're having to take it and go to all ends to make it work.
Right.
And I think the other guy that called in earlier talked about NovaM membership. You know, each one of us has individual things that we can do. You know, my membership is a small thing. I have the ability to do that, but I don't have the ability to do what you do. But we've got to all work together and get involved, and whether it's calling our congressman or supporting NovaM or supporting Tom Hartman or Young Turks or whatever, each one of you guys have a market, and when you realize the significance of it, over there in Iraq this week, that one day they had 212,
I believe it was
killed that one day. But the everyday average is roughly 100. Their population is about 1/12 of what ours is, if I remember right. They got about 25,000.
25.
We got about 300,000. Can you imagine if every day in the United States we had 1,200 people massacred or bombed or killed or whatever? People would get off their dust and start doing something. And realize that this is not something that we can just play games with any longer.
Right.
1,200 people a day, 70% of the kids over there stutter or wet their beds at night because they have to live around that nightmare. You know, it means that we have to get involved and support NovaM, support the different talk people, and bombard our senators and congressmen. Even though it doesn't seem like it's doing anything, it is. They're having to resort to extreme measures to pull people in the Air Force into the Army to get what they want to do. Thanks for what you're doing.
Well, I appreciate what you had to say, and thanks a lot, Gary. Take care. We'll talk again. I remember when... And I've told the story a million times, that when I took my pre-induction physical to join the Army back in 65, it was made very clear to the 200 or 300 of us who went to Jacksonville Naval Air Station that day to go through the physical that some of us were going to go in the Army and some of us were going to go in the Marines. This is back one of the few times the Marine Corps ever drafted. Normally the Marine Corps does not draft. They don't participate in conscription and never have. But the need for bodies for the big buildup that Lyndon Johnson wanted to toss at Vietnam and did toss at Vietnam required more into the Marine Corps, because the Marine Corps was, you know, the leading force that would, you know, they're the ones that went in first. And I remember so many of the people who were there because of the draft, you know, all of us sitting around talking about, oh, my God, you know, I don't want to join the Marine Corps. Damn. So, yeah, it's a shame that this is happening again. It really is. We'll be back after the breaks. Oh, by the way, somebody sent me, I asked what happened to Boston. The lead singer for the band Boston, Brad Delp, was found dead in his home in New Hampshire just not more than a few weeks ago. I don't know what happened to Tom Schultz. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
When I'm tired, I'm thinking cold. I hide in my music, forget the day, and dream of a girl I used to know. I close my eyes and she slipped away.
Do not go gently into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
Twenty-six before the hour, you know, after the caller mentioned Kucinich and banning handguns, which sounded a little strange. I'm sorry if, you know, that I question sometimes people's information, but I guess from working at CNN back in the day when it was a real news network, I just learned to do that. But it's true. If you go to kucinich.house.gov, or to his website, there's a link there. But if you go to kucinich.house.gov, this is Dateline April 18th. In the aftermath of Monday's deadly shooting in Blacksburg, Virginia, Congressman Dennis Kucinich is proposing a comprehensive three-point plan to deal with the violence plaguing America, including a ban on handguns. And then it goes on and on and on. It says... what does it say here? Kucinich is currently drafting legislation that would ban the purchase, sale, transfer, or possession of handguns by civilians. A gun buyback provision will be included in the bill. Kucinich said, quote, America is being engulfed in violence every day. Let's show them we have the wisdom and the courage to come from our hearts to meet this challenge, unquote. You know, I will vote for Kucinich before I would vote for anybody, but I have to disagree with him here. The America is engulfed in violence, but I don't want to piss anybody off because I know 19,000 Americans every year are killed by handgun violence. And I understand that. And children are killed by it. And I've stated categorically and for the record, I hate handguns. I hate guns. Guns are like cigarettes. If they're used exactly as they're designed, they kill. You know, a lot of people say, well, no, I target shoot. All right, well, whatever. But you know, the only function of a gun is to put a hole in something, whether it's a target or a human being. And I hate them. And had I not been told what I was told all those years ago about protection, I probably would not be a handgun owner. Rifle or a shotgun, I don't know how you make a distinction, but I do. But Kucinich is wrong on this one. He really is. I don't mean on the idea of getting this garbage out of our society. I'm all in favor of that. But the violence in this society, there are other societies that where handguns are regulated and you can still, you know, you can still possess one, but the violence level is not what it is in this country. That was one of the points that Michael Moore, another former NRA member like me, tried to make in Fahrenheit 9/11. Or was it? No, it was Bowling for Columbine. that, you know, gun ownership, Canada has a higher gun ownership, I think, if, unless I'm remembering the movie wrong, but Canada either Canadian citizens either have a higher gun ownership or comparable, and 1 millionth, pick a number, the violence that we have here. But what Kucinich is talking about, violence in this society, look, we're a country that goes along with, initially went along with, the invasion of another country based on lies and deceit. Now, you can say, well, we didn't know they were lies. Well, we should have known. You know, the violence being perpetrated is coming directly from the top of the food chain in this country. We have an attorney general that, prior to being attorney general, convinced this psychopath in the White House that torture was something that America should, yes, get involved in, that treaties and agreements and conventions were pointless and meaningless. We have a vice president who is so out of control he can shoot a hunting partner in the face, and the hunting partner winds up apologizing to Cheney. This, I'm sorry, I don't consider myself sick, but we live in a sick society. I mean, we do. Any society that allows a government to remain in place that involves itself in wars of choice based on nothing other than wanting to take that country's natural resources, in this case oil, and we sit back on our asses and don't immediately remove this thug from office, hey. So 33 people were shot in Blacksburg. And that's a tragedy. It's horrifying. When's the next one going to occur? And the next one, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one. I do believe that if we are serious about getting violence out of the society, we start at the top. Dennis happens to be, in my opinion, wrong on this. You can't, and he's going to lose support. I hate it, but it's true. He's not going to lose my support, simply because I am hip enough to understand that such a thing will never occur. I mean, okay, so Dennis talks about buybacks and banning transfer, sale, ownership of handguns. Okay, go ahead, talk about it. That's good. Let's all talk about it. Let's talk about it for the next 50 years. It's not going to happen. You know that as well as I do, Truth Seeker, so I don't think anybody should get their bloomers in a wad over Dennis Kucinich saying this, because it's not going to happen. Never. It just won't. I'm not saying that laws someday won't be passed that mandate such a thing, but Americans who own guns are not going to turn them in. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So to jump all over Dennis about this may be, you know, philosophically correct, but strategically or tactically, it's a mistake. He's a man advocating peace. He's advocating nonviolence. And we certainly agree with that, right? But the violence in this country starts at the top. It comes from these psychopathic bastards who take us into wars based on lies. It comes from this Gonzalez pig who, when he was attorney general and then Supreme Court justice in Texas, wouldn't even review death penalty cases. It didn't make any difference if the person was innocent. One thing George Ryan did, the Republican governor of Illinois, when it became clear, I think it was after 15 or 18 death row inmates were totally exonerated through DNA testing, and Ryan became so concerned about it, and I don't think it was because he was under investigation. I think he truly, as a human being, became so concerned about application of death penalty in this country that he commuted every single death row inmate in Illinois. This was a Republican. How many? I mean, it just goes on and on. What do we have, Kathy? Three people who had been on death row, who had been exonerated, who insisted they were innocent, and the Innocence Project proved their innocence. Or, I'm sorry, not all of them were the Innocence Project. They were students at Northwestern University who had these cases overturned and the inmates released. People who, if the Republicans would have had their way nationwide, would have been executed. Innocent people. And that's what Gonzalez is about, murdering innocent people. He doesn't give a goddamn. He just couldn't care less. changing, convincing this dork in the White House that it's okay to torture. So, you know, violence in this society does not and never did start with people owning handguns. It just didn't. It just didn't. I'd love to live in a society where guns just were not part of that society. And I'm sure that if I ever left this country, which I won't, that if I moved to another country and took citizenship someplace else, I would do that. I wouldn't have any problem doing that. I realize that people get shot. I realize that people are violent. But nothing like here. And it makes me sick. It really, really, really makes me sick. That I live someplace where gun violence, handgun violence, is at such a staggering rate. Children being blown away, school kids being blown away, college students being... And, you know, like I said to the caller, it's such a cliche. It's a bumper sticker. You know, when guns are outlawed, only outlaws have guns. But isn't it true? So I don't know what to do. It's one of those issues that I try to stay away from. Just like you don't hear me talk about the abortion issue on this program. Of course, I don't believe there's any such thing as an abortion issue. It's an issue of privacy. But I still won't talk about it, except when it just drives me crazy, like this ruling the other day of the Supreme Court. I try to stay away as much as I can, even though I'm ashamed of myself for staying away from it, the Israeli-Palestinian issue. And the gun issue is another one. I'm ashamed because I do stay away from it. But what I have learned in 20 some years of doing talk radio, it's pointless. It's just people screaming at each other across a divide, whether it's the occupied territories, a woman's right to privacy, or a gun issue. It's just people screaming at each other. There's never going to be reconciliation. We are not that highly evolved. Like the caller said, we're still 99%. We share 99% of the same DNA that a chimpanzee shares. It's not going to be resolved. Not in my lifetime, not 20, not 50, not 100 lifetimes from now, if there is a human species left. We're kind of stuck with this. We set this up, and now we're stuck with it. So I don't know what to do about it. I really don't. I will not support Kucinich. Because he takes this position, though. But it's true. It's true. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Tax bills, phone bills. I'm such a wreck, but I'm staying alive. Hey, girl, we gotta get out of this place. There's gotta be something better than this. I need you, but I hate to see you this way.
Strange faces come out of the rain. When you're strange, no one remembers your name. When you're strange, when you're strange, when you're strange. All right, yeah.
10 before the hour. Thanks to Ian Huff, who engineered the program tonight and handled your phone calls and who does every night. Thank you, Ian. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. Mark Marshall, our webmaster. The militant moderators at MikeMalloy.com on the message board. You got to have cojones of steel, whether you're a man or a woman, to go to that message board. Trust me. Also, go to novemradio.com and sign up for the downloads and podcasts, please. And there's also still, we still haven't hit 5,000 yet. I can't believe that. I cannot believe that. Once we hit 5,000 people have signed up, there's going to be a drawing for 10 grand. It's for real. It's for real. You people are embarrassing me. But that's all right. That's all right. Who's this from? There's a haiku here. I got a couple, but I got one written by John Knott in Oakland, California. The title is Alberto Empties His Mind to Congress. He does not recall tortured screams, blood on his hands, maggots in his eyes.
Whoa!
That's very good. Okay, back to the phone calls. Do I have any business? You've been awfully quiet tonight, haven't you? Just absolutely not a sound from you. I'm going to get all these emails that say, where was Kathy?
I'm trying to stay awake. I've had a really long week.
And the show has just done absolutely nothing to stimulate you into...
You are keeping me awake. No, I appreciate that.
But you haven't said anything tonight. Is there anything you want to add to anything that was done or said tonight?
Well, we need to go to Target tomorrow.
We do?
Yeah, because we're out of diapers.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah.
How are we coming with the potty training, by the way?
Badly.
Yeah?
Welcome all potty training tips and techniques. I have a daughter who apparently...
She just won't do it. She'll sit on the pot and she'll say, okay, I'm done. And of course, there'll be nothing there. And she just delights in flushing it. And then, you know, we put a pamper on her and then she immediately.
Yeah, I'm hiding. Yeah, Come on, let's hide on the potty. No!
Do you know about 15 years from now, somebody will capture this on YouTube or something, and she'll listen to this, and that's when she'll pick up the axe and come into our bedroom.
I just hope she's still not in diapers.
Molly didn't even walk until she was, 15 months? So, you know, there's just certain developmental things she didn't want to do. But so, all right, what else do we have to get besides Pampers?
Well, we're getting low on Diet Coke, and I like their really, really, really big jars of nuts.
Yeah, the nuts are good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Need some nuts.
All right, well, listen.
And we could use a couple of new hand towels for the bathroom since we painted in there.
Yeah.
We have mismatched hand towels.
Always good to hear from you, Kathy.
Okay.
Turn off your mic. Ian? Where's Ian?
Yeah, Mike.
Oh, there's Ian. Do you have to make a stop at Target tomorrow or anything?
No.
Okay, good. Thanks, Ian. Goodbye.
Bye.
Back to your phone calls. I just wondered why you were so quiet tonight. Normally you have something to say. But that's all right. I understand. Neil is calling from Milford, Connecticut. Hey, Neil.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Oh, I'm just fine. Actually, I called and stayed on because you asked a question about an hour ago that had to do with where did old listeners go to?
Yes.
And how have they followed you? And the older you are, and I turned 60 in January,
they
tried to follow you, but the trail was difficult because if you're not that familiar with the Internet, first of all, when I lost you from the New York area with the, I think it was 1190 or whatever, on the AM dial at night, and then I would come home. I would arrive home and I'd get on the Internet and pick you up for the 12-1 part. But when that went off, I tried finding both with Air America and with that radio station, and that was impossible. Well, finally it occurred to me to just actually take Mike Malloy and kind of Google you and kind of found something. And then, since it is the biggest one, which is AOL, this is kind of a funny thing. If a lot of your listeners, may be a useful trick because it took a long time and a much younger person to get me onto this, is that when I finally was able to find you, I couldn't listen to you because I have, basically real player and not... I thought I didn't have Windows Media. It turns out I do. Just because of you, I even downloaded the newest version of Windows Media, still couldn't get you, and then found out that if you're an AOL subscriber,
Hold on just a second. Kathy, where's the ice pick?
We need ice picks.
Have you got the ice
pick? Do they have them at Target?
We'll get one tomorrow at Target. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Neil.
Okay, if anybody who's an AOL person who wasn't getting you, that's possibly because if you go
ahead.
To multimedia settings, that they'll probably find that AOL media player has been checked, and they have to uncheck that, and then your Windows media player will work. And then I got you. And so
I wish we had another hour to talk to Neil.
Yeah, I wish we did too. Neil, we got to go. Listen, thanks. A slice
okay,
of heaven.
Absolutely.
All right, good to talk to
you.
All right, take care. Take care. Oh, my God, I've got 4 puncture wounds in my thigh.
Well, we'll get Band-Aids at Target.
Thanks a lot for participating, however you did that tonight. I'll see you Monday night. Take care. Have a good weekend, okay? Keep it lit. Oh, yeah. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.